This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فتنازعوا أمرهم بينهم وأسروا النجوى قالوا إن هذان لساحران يريدان أن يخرجاكم من أرضكم بسحرهما ويذهبا بطريقتكم المثلى فأجمعوا كيدكم ثم أتوا صفا وقد أفلح اليوم من استعلى قالوا يا موسى إما أن تلقي وإما أن نكون أول من ألقى قال بل ألقوا فإذا حبالهم وعصيهم يخيل إليه من سحرهم أنها تسعى فأوجس في نفسه خيفة موسى قلنا لا تخف إنك أنت الأعلى وألق ما في يمينك تلقف ما صنعوا إنما صنعوا كيد ساحر ولا يفلح الساحر حيث أتى.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. Welcome everyone to another episode of Tafsir Surah Taha. We were discussing the story of Musa because most of Surah Taha actually happens to be the story of Musa. And it's also known as the Surah Musa, it's also known as Surah Al-Kalim, a Kalimullah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَتَنَازَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ. And we left off at where Musa alayhi salam, he told the magicians, وَيْلَكُمْ لَا تَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. He advised them, told them not to lie. Don't fabricate upon Allah Azza wa Jal any lies. فَتَنَازَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ. So they ended up disputing, they ended up getting into arguments. بَيْنَهُمْ. Between them, they started arguing about different things. وَأَسَرُّ النَّجْوَى. And they now are speaking to one another in secrecy. Okay? After Musa alayhi salam gives his advice, now they're basically gathering together, the leaders amidst them are gathering together to discuss what should we say, what should we do, what should we not. Perhaps the advice of Musa alayhi salam really hit home run with them. And for that reason, they were shook and they wanted to discuss now how they should treat the situation because they already were pretty well aware that Musa alayhi salam is in fact not a magician. He happens to be something else. So some of them said, okay, so if he's able to win us or win against us, we know that we simply have the sleight of hand. We have this particular stick, we're gonna throw it, we place something in it, so it will shake. You know, the tafsir books pretty much have it, that in the staffs of the magicians, they'd simply placed something already, right, that would make the staff shake, as if it is like a snake. So it would appear to people as if it's a snake, especially from a distance, and perhaps, who knows, they dressed it like snakes, we don't know. Anyways, the idea is, they threw these staffs, they started shaking with the mechanism that they'd already placed within it. However, if a real snake comes, it won't be able to outdo the... It will definitely be able to overcome these other fake sort of sticks, right? So they were now afraid. They said, now, if this person is able to bring something else other than what we think to be, magic, right? Other than what we can do, simply make a stick appear like a snake, even though it's not a snake, right? If he's able to do something else, then let's believe in him. This is the discussion that they had amidst them. And some scholars, they say they had other discussions. And anyways, we don't exactly know what the discussion was, but from what happens next, perhaps this particular opinion that I mentioned to you is a good opinion. قالوا إن هذان لساحران إن هذان لساحران. Now, in some of the narrations of this verse, and what I mean by narrations of this verse is some of the qira'at of this verse, right? So we have the qira'at, which are the 7 qurra or the 10 qurra, and each qari has some riwayat, some narrations from each qari, i.e. A sub-qari, if you so please, right? And so for example, Asim, we recite the qira'ah of Asim, and I'm doing the tafsir of the Qur'an based primarily on the qira'ah of Asim, but through the narration or through the recording of Hafs, and he also has Shu'bah as well. So most of the qira'ah, or a number of qira'ah, they read, إِنَّ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرًا. Indeed, these two happen to be magicians. Now of course, who's speaking over here? They said, some of them said that these must have been the magicians themselves. Okay? قالوا, they said, إِنَّ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرًا. Over here in Hafs and Asim, إِنَّ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرًا. Right? They said, this must have been the magicians. And perhaps that's the case, because right before that, the pronoun wow, in the previous verse, right in the beginning, فَتَنَازَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ, they started to dispute upon their matter, disagree upon their matter, is referring to the Sahara, it's referring to the magicians. So perhaps this was amidst the things that they said. In private, they decided that if he's able to overcome us, we will definitely believe in him. In public, and especially in front of the Pharaoh, they ended up saying, these two people are in fact magicians, and we will be able to overcome them. يريدان أن يخرجاكم من أرضكم بسحرهما ويذهبا بطريقتكم المثلى. Now of course there's another understanding that Fir'aun was the one saying all of this. That indeed these two happen to be magicians. They only wish for them to lead you out of your land. Remember, Fir'aun was concerned so much about his land. Even in an earlier episode we discussed this. So he's telling them as well, they just want to take your dominion out of this land. They are magicians, and people come to you for help, O magicians. So now after their magic prevails, if it does, they will start going to Musa alayhi salam, they'll start going to Harun alayhi salam. So you have to make sure you correct yourself on this ahead of time before something goes wrong, right? This is perhaps what Fir'aun is saying. And it could be that the magicians are saying this. In either case, this conversation, this idea is prevalent within them. Pharaoh knows about it. Also, the magicians know about it. If they win today, Musa and Harun, the dominion of the soothsayers, the magicians, and Fir'aun on top of all of them is going to fall, because people will say, these people are stronger than you, and you people happen to be weaker, right? And already the Israelites have had it because of all the oppression that they went through from the Coptics. So they want out, the Israelites themselves. إِنْ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرًا يُرِيدَانِ أَن يُخْرِجَاكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِكُمْ بسحرهما ويذهبا بطريقتكم المثلى. And they also want to take away your very, very exemplary path, your exemplary lifestyle and style, right? Now, whenever someone brings something new to a society, one of the people are concerned about is their lifestyle. People are not willing to make changes to their lifestyle because of the will of God, right? Except those people who happen to truly be believers, and those people who happen to submit themselves to the belief that they have been bestowed with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them with, right? Except those people, nobody else is really willing to submit themselves to the will of God and change, make instrumental changes within their own lifestyle for the sake of this new guidance that they've received. This is exactly what's happening over here. Either the magicians are saying this, or Fir'aun himself is saying this, that وَيَذْهَبَا بِطَرِيقَتِكُمُ الْمُثْلَى, they will get rid of, and they will drive away, and they will pretty much bring to an end your exemplary path and your exemplary style. Or what this means is, and if this is if Pharaoh is speaking, that they will get rid of your dominion. People come to you, O magicians. People come to you for help, and they come to you for major decisions in life, and they come to you when things go south in their lives. Now they're going to start going to Musa and Harun, so you better make sure you win this one, otherwise you're going to be in a big problem. Now I've explained this verse in both ways, whether this was a statement of Fir'aun or it was a statement of the magicians. It appears to me that this is in fact a statement of the magicians because of the plural, قالوا, they said. But there's something important to mention over here. And that is, إِنْ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرَانِ. The word, إِنْ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرَانِ. Indeed, these two happen to be magicians. This is very important to mention. And that is that some Orientalists and some propagandists, if you so please, that have some knowledge of basic grammar and so on and so forth, they'll say this happens to be a mistake in the Quran. Okay? Right here, you guys say the language of the Quran is the epitome of all language and so on and so forth, but here it is. I found you a mistake. Right? In hadhani lasahiran. The norm is when you have the word inna, now this is the recitation of Hafsan Asim, in hadhani lasahiran. You go to the other recitations, many of them, which say, إِنَّ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرَانِ. Indeed, these two happen to be magicians, right? Musa and Harun. Now the norm is when you have the word inna after it, whatever, I'm going to get a little bit grammatical. If you don't understand, don't worry about it. But whoever can understand, alhamdulillah. Right? Because I have to get a little bit technical in order for me to ward off this particular accusation that's made around the Qur'an, or about the Qur'an. So they'll say, look, in some of the recitations of the Qur'an, Allah had revealed, إِنَّ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرًا. And we know that the word inna, it's adat nasb. It is an instrument which ends up making whatever is after it have fathatain on top of it. Or it makes it go through the state called the state of nasb, right? There's three different states in syntax, the raf, nasb, and jar. So it places it into the state of nasb. That means there should be either fathatain, or there should be a ya, or there should be different things that can represent that state of nasb, right? So over here, it should have been inna hadaini lasahirain, but over here it says inna hadani lasahiran. Even though it should have been, based on basic grammar, if you've studied the Medina books, even you would know this, it should be inna hadaini, right? But the thing is, the Qur'an doesn't always come with basic grammar. That's the issue. Your basic mind may understand one thing, but the Qur'an may come with something that's a little bit different. Because you have to understand, Allah had revealed the Qur'an so that every single person amidst the Arabs in that society will be able to recite. Some things are very difficult for certain tribes to say, and other things are very, very difficult for other tribes to say. Now, when I used to hear this answer before, some things are very difficult for some tribes to say, and other things are very difficult, very difficult for other tribes to say. Perhaps that other thing is easy for the first tribe, and vice versa, right? When I used to hear this before, I would say, well, you know what? I can say inna hadan, and I can say inna hadain. I can say that. It's not difficult for me to say either one. Until in the final year of my bachelor's degree, when I was in Riyadh, the teacher in our Tajweed class made me a TA. Okay, I've taught Quran for many, many years, alhamdulillah, since I was perhaps 15 years old. I've even before that taught Quran to people. And I've been reciting Quran since I knew life, basically. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So the teacher ended up making me a TA. This was maybe several years ago. And I was teaching now to a person who is a Bedouin, literally, okay? My own classmates, because there's three of us, and there was a lot of different students, so the teacher took three students who he thought could become TAs, and he made me and two other students TAs. And we were teaching, basically we were taking the class, dividing it into four pieces, one portion for the teacher and the other portion for the other students, right? So now I have these students, some of whom come from city lives, others are literally Bedouin, okay? What I mean by literally Bedouin, I mean literally Bedouin. Literally, some of them are driving an hour from an hour away, okay? Or hour or two away outside of Riyadh coming for the class. Okay, so they live literally in villages. They were raised in village culture. And they, of course, speak Arabic as a native language. They're all Saudis. And one of these students, I started teaching him, and a number of others as well. I realized that if I teach him to say any word, he actually cannot say the word in any other way except the way he grew up saying it. It's like when I speak English and I speak with a Canadian accent, I cannot suddenly switch myself into an Australian or a British person and so on and so forth. Perhaps someone that is learning the language as a new language altogether, he has to learn every single intricacy of the language. They can learn, practice different voices for certain words, but I cannot do that, right? It's very difficult. And some people that are skilled, they are able to manage that as well. Even though that is a little bit different, okay? Arabic is a little bit more systematical in that regard, okay? But this person is literally, and I mean literally, I'm saying it's alayhi. He cannot say alayhi. He has to say alayhu. Because all of his life, he's been saying alayhu, alayhu. And in the Quran, there's a couple of places where alayhu does come as well. And that's also a dialect amongst the dialects of the Arabs. But I realized at that point, it was one of those light bulb moments. I realized that the hikmah of Allah revealing the Quran in these slightly different ways so that people from each tribe are actually able to pronounce. This person is not able to, and I'm trying. He's a student, he's a fourth year student in a Sharia program or a Islamic studies program. He's not able to say anything but what he's been raised up saying. Alayhi, alayhi, alayhu, alayhu, alayhu. Because that's how he says it at home, that's how he was raised up, and he's not able to pronounce anything else. Not that he doesn't have good makharij, he's Arab, he's able to say ayn and ghayn and all the other makharij as well, but this particular word, it just didn't work for him. Okay, and then I noticed in some of the other students as well. So my point again over here is these people are not people who, the Quran is coming down to nomadic people, okay? They're not people who learn what a fatha is, what a dhamma is, what a kasra is, what a, you know, this or that. They just learn the language as a natural phenomenon or natural sort of process of learning as they grew up, a mother tongue. So it's going to be very difficult for them as speakers to suddenly switch to something different that they're not used to, right? So there was there's an incident like this. A teacher was trying to teach a student, tabbat yada abi lahab yum watab, right? Destruction be to the hands of Abu Lahab, watab. So every time he would teach, he wanted to teach the student in intervals and not the whole ayah. It was a young child. So he would say, tabbat yada, right? He's reciting, tabbat yada. He would stop there. Now he's hoping for the student to recite, and the student would say, tabbat yadan. Because you can't stop like that. You can't stop like that in Arabic, okay? If you want to drop the noon, then you have to say, tabbat yada abi lahab. You have to say the whole thing. I'm getting to a very important point. When you are raised up with a language, it's hard for you to suddenly make a change to it, okay? So, now let's get back to the ayah. Inna hadhani is actually a dialect from amongst the dialects of the Arabs. In some of the dialects of the Arabs, including Zabid, including Khatham, including Kinana, including Bani al-Harf, right? They used to actually say, inna hadhani, okay? They would say, جَاءَ الزَّيْدَانِ مَرَرْتُ بِالزَّيْدَيْنِ مَرَرْتُ بِالزَّيْدَانِ رَأَيْتُ الزَّيْدَانِ. So in all three syntax forms, they would actually leave the alif. Okay? That was the way they would speak. So for Khatham, for Kinana, for a number of other tribes, it would have been difficult for them to recite inna hadaini. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it in this way upon their lahja, upon their dialect, so it's easier for people to recite. And this is found in Arabic poetry as well. I'm saying all this because some people will say, oh no, there's some scholars who, even Muslim scholars who said this is wrong. You know what? I'm not going to hide something from you because you're going to hear something from me and then you'll say, well, the Shaykh was saying this, but this particular Orientalist has another proof. It's not that I don't know. I'll tell you directly. There are some Muslim scholars who've also said something like this, but ignorance is cured through knowledge. If they didn't realize that there's other dialects available within the Arabic language, then that is their problem. They just didn't know. And we have a principle which says, Al-Muthbitu Muqaddamun ala al-Nafi. The one who affirms is always give preference to the person who affirms over the one who negates. So someone negating the fact that there happens to be another dialect within the classical dialects of the Arabs, he's going to be sidelined if someone comes and establishes that, especially with a proof. And I'll give you the proof. There's a line of poetry, and there's many lines of poetry. And normally, when we talk about proofs in establishing a dialect, we go back to the classic Arabic poetry. A poet says, "Inna abaha wa aba abaha, qad balagha fil majdi ghayataha." So over here, if you notice, the poet is saying, "Inna abaha," that's fine. "Wa aba abaha," it should have been "Wa aba abiha." قَدْ بَلَغَا فِي الْمَجْدِ غَايَتَاهَا. It should have been غَايَتَيْهَا. So he kept the alif in all of the states, in the different states, right? إِنَّ أَبَاهَا وَأَبَا أَبَاهَا قَدْ بَلَغَا فِي الْمَجْدِ غَايَتَاهَا. And there's many examples of this. So the point is, in some dialects, the alif stays through all the different states, whether that be mansub or majroor or also marfu'. And this is basically one answer. There's six different answers to this. So before you hear someone says, you know, there's mistakes in the Quran. No. There is a lot. Arabic language is a very, very vast language. The second answer, and this is what Ibn Ashur said, is that, and of course others mentioned it as well, Ibn Ashur said this is the strong answer, is that the word inna, it actually means yes. Okay? There is, among the usages of the word inna is to simply mean yes. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالُوا إِنَّ, they said, إِنَّ أَيْ يَسْ هَذَانِي لَسَاحِرًا. Definitely, of a surety, these two people happen to be magicians. So إِنَّ is simply yes. Just as you say na'am, there's another way of saying na'am, or just as you say ajal, which is another way of saying yes. In Arabic, there's another way of saying yes, which is إِنَّ. That is not, again, the famous meaning, but again, Arabic language is so vast that not everybody knows all the different meanings, so you have to be a proper lexicographer in order for you to know these different dialects or different meanings and so on and so forth. قَالُوا إِنْ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرَانِ يُرِيدَانِ أَنْ يُخْرِجَاكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِكُمْ بِسِحْرِهِمَا وَيَذْهَبَا بِطَرِيقَتِكُمُ الْمُثْلَى. Indeed, these two happen to be Sahiran, they happen to be two magicians. يُرِيدَانِ أَن يُخْرِجَاكُمْ. They wish to drive you out of your land with their magic. وَيَذْهَبَا بِطَرِيقَتِكُمُ الْمُثْلَى. And also they wish to rid you of your exemplary path and exemplary style or exemplary lifestyle. فَأَجْمِعُوا كَيْدَكُمْ ثُمَّ أَتُوا صَفَّى. So now, Fir'aun says to them, so get yourselves together. فَأَجْمِعُوا كَيْدَكُمْ. Literally, get yourselves together, get your plots together, get your weapons together, and their weapons were simply their staffs, right? Get them together, ثُمَّ أَتُوا صَفَّى, and then go before him صَفًّا, go before him in rows, okay? Historically and in modern day, people who wish to simply deceive other people, one of the means that they use is presentation, okay? Evil sometimes today is presented in the best of ways, where good is presented in the worst of ways. I ask Allah to grant us a tawfiq to present good in also the best of ways, right? So they're now looking into presentations. So they're like, okay, now we're going to stand in rows. Remember, we said there are a lot of people. Some estimates, low estimates, have 70, 80 people. High estimates go all the way up to 900,000 people. Now it could be that 900,000 was inclusive of also the attendees. We don't know, but anyways, what we know is it was Yawm al-Zina, it was the Day of Beauty, and this was a very, very attended event. So Fir'aun told them, now gather. Go ahead and stand one line after another line after another line after another line. So it looks like you're literally like an army of magicians, and there's just two people on the other end. وَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْيَوْمَ مَنْ اسْتَعْلَى. And whoever is able to prevail today, that person is going to be the winner. That person is going to definitely succeed. قالوا, they said, يَا مُوسَى, O Musa, إِمَّا أَن تُلْقِيَ وَإِمَّا أَن نَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَلْقَى. They said, O Musa, either you throw the staff, you throw it, or we become the first ones who throw the staff as well. Okay? So now they're telling Musa, O Musa, either you take your staff and you chuck it, so you start the competition or the challenge or so on and so forth, or we will start the challenge, and we'll start the competition, right? Or the challenge, rather. قَالَ بَلْ, Musa alayhi salam said, rather, أَلْقُوا, rather you should go ahead and start this particular show. You should be starting the challenge. I will wait until you're done. Because there's a lot of them. So they go ahead and throw their hibal, they throw their ropes and they throw their asid, they throw their staffs and sticks and so on and so forth. And when they started throwing their ropes and their staffs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. From the magic, from the sleight of hand that they did, from their whatever they had done, right? Whatever form of magic it was. What happened is, this particular, all of these staffs and all of these ropes, they started moving in a way that it looked as if they are actually snakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it appeared, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِمْ. So it wasn't real magic. Allah saying, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِمْ. It appeared that way. It appeared as if they are actually moving. أَنَّهَا تَسَعَى, that they're actually moving forward and going around and so on and so forth. But it was simply an appearance. It was simply sleight of hand. It wasn't real transformation of a stick, because that happens by the leave of Allah, رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ. Allah continues and explains now the state of Musa alayhi salam when he sees these sticks and ropes suddenly transforming, apparently, into snakes. And it appears to the rest of the crowd as well that they've now turned into snakes. Remember, if we go earlier and we read, Fir'aun simply said, فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّكَ بِسِحْرٍ مِثْلِهِ. We will bring to you a sihr, we will bring to you a magic that happens to be the same as yours as well, right? So if their snakes appear to the people, if their staffs and their ropes appear to the people as if they're snakes, and they appear like they're moving as well, just as the staff of Musa alayhi salam will do, right? Then obviously Fir'aun has fulfilled whatever he said he was going to do, right? Because he was able to fulfill the challenge, and that was, we'll bring the same sort of magic as yourself, right? And you think that that magic is a reason for us to believe in you, but the reality is, it's not enough of a reason for us to believe, because we can do the same thing, right? Even though, as I said, it simply appeared that way. So because of this appearance, Musa alayhi salam became a little bit afraid, internally, not externally. And that's a very important factor. فَأَوْجَسْ فَأَحَسْ. He felt in himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he started feeling inside of himself. فِي نَفْسِهِ. Internally, not externally. Sometimes when you're in this situation, you might feel a little bit weak, a little bit vulnerable, but you have to not allow the fear to be apparent to people as well, right? You may feel internally a little bit fearful. Now Musa alayhi salam is not afraid of Fir'aun, because this is a messenger. Messengers are not afraid of doing anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not afraid of any of that. What he's afraid of, and I'll show you the proof for this as well, what he's afraid of is, he's afraid that the people who see the apparent magic that these magicians are doing again in front of, in the challenge in front of Musa alayhi salam, their snakes are turning also into their staffs are also turning into snakes, and their ropes are also turning into snakes. So it may appear to them that Musa alayhi salam and the magicians are equivalent. So that's what he's afraid of. And what's the result of that? What's the consequence of that? What's the consequence of that? The consequence of that is that people will then not believe in Musa alayhi salam, and they will not believe in Harun alayhi salam. They'll say, you guys are the same as the magicians, right? So that's where he's afraid. And not that Fir'aun will do something to him, or that Fir'aun will overcome him, or that that is not what's occupying the mind of Musa alayhi salam. خِيفَةً. He had a state of fear, okay? خِيفَة is a state of fear. وَفَعْلَةٌ لِمَرَّةٍ كَجَلْسَةٍ وَفِعْلَةٌ لِهَيْئَةٍ كَجَلْسَةٍ. فِعْلَة, anything that comes on the word, on the form of the word فِعْلَة, it is to show the state. So he had an internal state of fear, a خِيفَة. قُلْنَا, we said, لَا تَخَفْ, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So Allah can notice it even if He doesn't let it be external. Remember, it's internal, because أَوْجَسَ is internal. فِي نَفْسِهِ is also internal, right? Inside of himself and not externally. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw the internal fear as well, even though He didn't let it become apparent. قُلْنَا, we said, لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. Don't be afraid, because you will prevail and they will not prevail. You will be above them, you will be prevalent and they will not be prevalent. So you can see that he's simply afraid of them prevailing in the challenge, which was that we will bring a magic similar to your magic, and then if they did that, they would simply prevail in the challenge, right? Because he was using that apparent magic, what appeared to be magic, it was a miracle from Allah Azza wa Jal, he was using that as a proof for his prophethood and his message. But now they're bringing the same thing, so how can he be truthful in the claim that he's making? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't worry, you will definitely prevail. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to take lesson from the guidances within the book of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have a heart which is not afraid of the people, but it's afraid for the people. Because the fear that Musa alayhi salam had was for the people and not afraid of the people. He was not afraid of Fir'aun. He was not afraid that the magicians are going to do something to him. He wasn't afraid that the crowds are going to start going into uproar. He was afraid for the people that if things go south, then all these people who I thought could believe, they're not going to believe, right? So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us fear only of Him. And if there's fear that we have in our interactions with people, it happens to be for their sake and not from them. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allahu khairan for listening. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.